Okay, good morning everybody. My name is Sharif. I serve in CCCA in Namibia team. I'm not a good speaker, so good luck today. I'll be talking about a topic. The subject is why evangelism. And it was very interesting for me after a couple of years of serving in evangelism to question myself again, why evangelism? And it's really good to remind ourselves every while, why are we serving this special service? And why is it not Sunday school? Why is it not the poor people in Upper Egypt? Any ideas? Trafficking in Egypt? Okay. What? Trafficking, do you mean by human trafficking or do you mean bad traffic, so that's why we don't want to serve in Egypt? Alright, okay. Definitely when you tell your friends that you're going to serve outside of Egypt, somebody asks you, we have lots of spaces here, all churches need servants, why do you leave Egypt and go serve somewhere else while you still, we did not finish service in Egypt? Is your church, your local church where you go, is sufficient with servants and has reached the optimum service, and now you have the time to leave your church and go travel somewhere else? Any answers? Okay. Have you heard the answer, or shall I repeat? All right, he's saying that some people have more flexibility in speaking in other languages than in Arabic, so they prefer use their skill in language to do something else, to use it somewhere else than in Egypt, which is a valid point, especially in our service. You people know how to speak languages, others don't, so at least you have this asset that may be used somewhere else. Okay, so they're both equal, they both deserve to know Jesus. So some of us will serve here, some of us will travel. Very good. So it's a call from God for people to serve either here or there. Okay. To reach out for non-believers. Alright, so in Egypt it's not allowable to preach non-believers outside or even other beliefs, but outside of Egypt you have this potential, and so it's an option. Very good. Exactly. All right. Did you hear her? All right. So it's an attitude. It's a lifestyle. So you can do it wherever you want. Here maybe it's not by words, it's by actions. Elsewhere it's by both. All right? Please. In Egypt, I'm repeating what you have said. In Egypt, it's said to be that service is putting a golden spoon in the people's mouth. You're giving them every bit and piece. And it's maybe it's more of pampering the servants, the service, However, in other places they have nothing, so maybe we could distribute our activities and our power to give a little bit to everybody, especially for those people who do not know anything about God. All right, so that's a good start. I'll give you I'll point out 7 points about why evangelism. They're not everything. It's just one of the ways of presenting this topic. All right. If you search on the internet, you'll find different people talking about why evangelism in different attitudes. I've chosen one. We will discuss it together. It's on Bible.org if anybody would like to go back to it. Because of the command of Christ, okay, because of the command of Christ, because of the condition of all men, the consequences of the gospel, the coming of Christ, the constraint of love, character of the gospel, commitment of the message to us. I'll talk in each one in details. The command of Christ, it was God's call for us to go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. So it's not, if anybody tells you why leave Egypt and go serve somewhere else, because it's the command of God. In Mark, he said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So it's not only about Upper Egypt or Egypt or whatever it is. In Luke, he said, should be preached in his name to all nations. So why in evangelism? Because all the gospels said that we have to go to all nations and to everybody. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So when we were first told to go and serve in South Africa, we thought of this verse is for just for us, end of the earth, the most end point in the map. What do you think of this image? In answer to why evangelism? Can you see the image? All right. Any ideas? Yes. The lost sheep, all right? What else? Why evangelism? God seeks everybody. So it's exactly the issue that he had compassion on them because they were bewildered and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So if, like it was said before, that they are sheep without a shepherd, then we should send shepherds to take care of them. Again, in St. Peter's Gospel, what will the end of those who do not obey the Gospel of God? Where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? So it's something that we think of people because of love, because we love them, we are worried about their eternity. Alright, so that's one of the reasons why we go and evangelize. The third point is the consequences of the gospel. Our belief, if you do not go this way, then you will go the other way. Alright? So the Bible says, with flaming fire he will mete out punishment on those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will undergo the penalty of eternal destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his strength. So we are afraid that they would not be in the presence of our Lord. This is one more reason why we go and evangelize. Am I going too fast? Alright. Yes. Alright, the gospel says here that we are worried that those people would not be with our Lord. So we are worried that they're not going to be with the Lord in eternity. So that's why I'm going, some people think of it in this attitude. I'm going to preach those people so they would be with our Christ in eternity. Definitely. And we'll get to that point. But that does not mean that you're worried about other people, right? I don't think a mother would be worried about her kids and not herself, or vice versa. Correct me if I'm wrong. Right? So we are all worried about the whole church. That does not mean I forget myself, because if I forget myself, I'm already on the wrong track. For the same idea, because of the upcoming of Christ. So in Corinthians 2, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So we have to persuade men that Christ is coming and you should know him. Alright, it's very much close to the point before it. This point is the umbrella of everything. It could be a sub point or it could be a general point, loving everybody. Because we love everybody, we want to tell them about Christ. Because we love everybody, the commandment, we want to do the commandment as God says for us. Alright? But if we take it as a sub-point, we can say that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for the love of Christ compels us. Who knows what compels mean? Pushes, forces. تحصرنا. It's surrounding us. It's everywhere. It's in the air, as they say. Alright, so if we love everybody, and this is the most important point, you are going to evangelize. Why? Because you're going to people. Do you know them? No. Do you love them? Yes. Do you love the people that you know? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. That's a problem. Alright? The people we know, sometimes we don't love. Imagine if you're going to meet people, you have to love them. So an evangelist has to be a loving person. And we'll get to that point in details later on. Alright? The gospel says that there is salvation with anybody else than Christ. There is no way else. So in Acts 4, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among people by which we must be saved. So if we say that others may be saved in other ways, then we won't evangelize. But if we believe in this verse and we know that there is no other way but Christ, that's why I'm going to talk about those with those people about Christ. In Romans 1, I usually read the colored lines, okay? For it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. So God is for everybody, Christ is for everybody, and when we go to the Africans, we draw Christ in black, and we go to Asia, we draw him like that. Alright, so he's for everybody, he's not Coptic, he's not Orthodox, he's just Jesus Christ. That's very important. When we go evangelize, we're not going there to make people Copts, reading Coptic letters, singing Coptic music and hymns. We're going to tell them about Christ, like the Ethiopian church. It used to be, it is still Orthodox, but they have their own culture. If you go to Africa, they have their own songs and hymns where they say inside the Mass, but with their language, with their music that they know. This point is interesting because of the commitment of the message to us. What does that mean? I'll read the verses and then we discuss the point. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. Stewardship يعني وكالة. حاجة مؤتمن عليها. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have became all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Let me get back to those two lines. The necessity is laid upon me. What does that mean? Obligatory. Is it for us to select whether to evangelize or not? Is it an option? I thought it was an option. And I thought I left Sunday school service to evangelize. And now I realized it's not an option. You should be an evangelist wherever and whenever and whatever you do. Even if you're a Sunday school servant, even if you're at work, and at your home, with your friends, wherever you are. I remember my first year in faculty, in university, I was told by my friends, you are the first Christian to deal with. And I was astonished for them living 16 years without dealing with Christians. And apparently some people, they might have dealt with them, but they didn't know that they are Christians. So they just knew we were Christians and they started asking questions. So you need to be known that you're a Christian, and when you're known that you're a Christian, then you're an ambassador to God. This is evangelism. So here Paul says, it is not an option. If it was an option, I would take a reward, but however, no, I'm not taking a reward. It's a necessity. It's coming from up upon. It is laid upon me. And again, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. It is a stewardship. وكالة. حاجة مؤتمنين عليها. ربنا هيسألنا عنها. Okay. So, who can wrap up? Why evangelism? It's the command of Christ, condition of all men, consequences of the gospel, coming of Christ, constraint of love, character of the gospel, commitment of the message to us. So these are the 7 points, one of the ways of presenting why evangelism. I have a question here. Is it a command or a need? Let's leave the theoretical part. Alright, it's both. So we talked about the commandment of God for us in different ways, in different attitudes. Is it a need? For whom? For them or for us? For both of us. But now when we're talking, I think the commandment tells us about their need of evangelism. Is it a need for us? Okay. For those who haven't yet traveled, you're missing a lot. Let me tell you that yes, it's a need. When you go once, you understand when you get back here, why is it a need? Any ideas why? Any hopes why? I think they saw God there. Alright, thank you. That's it. No other replies needed. To make it short, I left 4 spaces for you and 1 for myself. Which was your answer? You see God there. That's why I don't need more answers. Alright? Why do you see God there? Let me show you this image. I'm trying just to give you a vision or a brief about what you're going to meet when you serve. The area above, this is, I'll be talking about a case study about Namibia. Alright? The late Father Michael, that you can see in the second image. see him? All right. He passed away last year, and we've lost a lot by his departure. However, he have left to us why evangelism. And I'll be referring to him as an excellent example, all right, in different ways by the images that we did not understand at the time, and I have it understood until I presented or tried to present this session for you. This is an area in upper Namibia, north. He has to travel from the capital around 700 kilometers to the church that is located in the north, and then again around 300 kilometers. 100 kilometers of them is a gravel road. And he has back problems. And the first day we went, before going, he told us about the program that we are going to those people because I love those people and I want you to get two more priests, one for each church, and leave me there and don't ask about me. Alright, this area, they are native people, they live, they are uncivilized, totally. They have no electricity, no water, no nothing, they do not go to schools, they live on, they take the sheep out, the men go take the sheep out, alright, and come back every other season. And the women sit there with their kids, just eating, maybe some few vegetation. And that's it. So they're almost blank. They, when they see the car, it's something wow. All right, Abuna there, that was his passion. Okay, let me tell you, by seeing those people and how they reacted to the word of God, at first we do not speak their language. They do not understand English. Even their normal local languages, they are different from them. So we had to get a two translators to talk with us. So even if I'm talking in English, it's not as if I'm talking in Arabic. I'm more fluent in Arabic, I'm more at ease in Arabic. Alright? Imagine when you're talking in English, somebody else is translating, so he's not giving even your emotions, and you are waiting a time lag until what you are saying is reflected in their faces, and then you, once again, this cycle is very difficult. Alright? Abuna, if you can see his hands, he's talking, and he's very passionate about what he's saying, and then he stands for a minute until he gets the reaction. And all of a sudden, we heard him shouting out loud. We were getting something from the car. Everybody's arranging something. Ilhauni, ilhauni, ta'alu. We all ran. Ey abuna, fi ey. They want to get baptized. And we didn't understand if they, we didn't realize or we did not expect if they would originally understand what we're talking about. They're somewhere else. They're not with us. So they did not even hear about the concept before. Okay, other people go and evangelize, but they go mainly for other reasons. All right. But when Abuna was talking to them, it was something else. The reactions we took from their faces was something else. We thought we got a small gift like a cross that we thought they might not want to wear because why that and what is that? In seconds, all the ladies of this site were wearing crosses, and we want a church. And they want to get baptized. And we even thought, we shouldn't rush in those things. When we're evangelizing, we do not rush ever in baptism. So Abuna was very excited. The reward that God gave us, that they understood the message, they loved him very much because it wasn't the first time for him to go there. But it was our first time as a service, Ambabraham, to go there. Alright? It was something out of this world. The later experiences with those people, I will show you later on in the presentation. Another thing, also God rewards us there more than we even نستاهل. شايف يعني نستاهل. Deserve. Thank you. More than we really deserve. Much, much more here. Yeah, and you cannot imagine. I remember we were doing a leadership training course, and we were moving from one place to another, and Abuna raised the phone, and he called me, Sharif, give me Rami. I told Abuna, did he do anything wrong? Give me Rami. If I gave him Rami. Rami is a servant with us. He took Rami on the phone. What did you do to those people in your lecture? Farami said, Abuna, what we decided on together, I told them. We said we will talk about this topic, and I talked about this topic. Do you want to get baptized today? What shall I do now? God rewards us very much with things we do not expect. We're talking about leadership, and that was the trigger that God waited those people. Abuna trained them and gave them lectures and talked with them, but he left them to ask for the baptism. He does not push people to get baptized. And out of nowhere, this person came and just said a lecture, and that was the trigger that God was waiting for this person to get baptized, and the reward was for us to see. So those images are for people getting baptized, kids and elders in the church there while we were there. Of course, when we are going to an evangelist mission, we do not expect to see such things. Alright, and from the first time, it's not even that we did anything that would be, that we could say that it is because of us or for the preparations or for anything. It's God rewarding us for things we do not deserve. Okay, so why evangelism? I hope we're all convinced why evangelism. And of course, you're already here because you are convinced, but it's a debate that we usually share with others that are yet not very much convinced with evangelism. Most important, because you're here, is the second question. What an evangelist is? Can anybody be an evangelist? Okay, this is from Wikipedia. I thought it's interesting to know what Wikipedia wrote about evangelism. Oh, evangelist. Evangelism is the preaching of the Christian gospel or the practice of relaying information about a particular set of beliefs to others with the object of conversion. I'm not sure about the object of conversion this, but we may say yes if we want, or at least the concept of conversion may be inside us but not declared and needs not to be declared, because only with your actions people could just know God, and that's what we want them to have, to know God. Characteristics of an evangelist is, many people wrote about it in different ways, and if you get into the internet, and I tell you, if you have the time, please search. One of them I will show you right now, I will not discuss, I'll just go through it. It's, they are people of prayer. Theology, they have a theology that they want to tell people about. They spend time with the Word of God. They are compassionate about people. They love the communities where God would send them to. They're intentional about evangelism. It's in their blood. They're accountable to some evangelistic activities. However, when I thought of this, I thought it's a very wide spectrum. And if you go into the internet, you will find, this is in christianpost.com. And there are several articles talking about characteristics of an evangelist. Abuna Filupatir, in our course, came and gave us a lecture about that. And I thought it was more interesting to tell you more about it. So I'll brief what he told us in three words, or three points. An evangelist should have faith and vision. I think you know you need those three things as keywords, as references for you while serving. You need to have faith and vision. You need to be full of love. And you need to be filled with evangelism. I'll talk in each one. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you do not have faith and vision is what? The things that are not seen. Alright? An evangelist should have a vision. I am going, like Abuna, when he said, I'm going to the Himba, those people in Namibia, he had a vision how he could convey the message of God to those people, even though they don't know anything about anything. They believe in fire and the spirits and things like that. And that was one of the entry points that Abuna came with the Holy Spirit and the ancestors and our saints and so on. Right? But he has a vision for those people, and he has faith that God would help him there, that those people would know the message of God. So if an evangelist does not have faith and the vision where he's going to, he's lost. Why would he go to a place that he knows no one there and no place there? Big question mark. Why would the mission go to a choir Christmas carols in China where they are not Christians and they're not used to Christmas carols, unless they had faith that God would be with them and they had a vision to the technique or to the way they are going and how they are going to manage the service there? So an evangelist without faith and vision together is not an evangelist. He would be afraid to go, simply. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I haven't seen the country I'm going to serve in, but I believe that God would be with me there and he would do the best with those people. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I committed to him until that day. This is very important. God has told us that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. He promised us to be with us. So we have faith in him. Alright, again, this is the same example I would like to show you. Abuna sitting with them on the floor, standing with them, talking with them, even if he does not understand what they're saying, but the passion he had with them was more than we could imagine, or we realize how much they loved them. And I have to tell you, when we went there after his after he left to heaven, they all came out of they have like a big boundary wall or a fence of wood where their compound is in. القرية بتاعتهم كده هو صغيرة. Okay, they all came out to convey the message how they are sad for his departure and how much they loved him. And now we have a priest there that have been there for the past 2 months. Everywhere he goes, he told me, I can feel his blessings because people loved him. Because when they see him with the same suit, with the same beard, they would ask him, do you know Father Michael? And they would talk very good about him. When we were there, out of the blue, he said, I want to build them a church. Abuna. He has faith that God would help, and he has a vision for those people that he wants to build them a church. Abuna, they do not even have water. Abuna, they are so far, we do not know how to help them. We come to them once or twice a year. I want to build a church. So he went to the big guy they have, they name him Tati, the senior person there, and he told them, I want a piece of land, I want to build a church. And the guy told them, very well, we agree, come with me, this piece of land, this huge piece of land is for you. Yeah, I don't want to tell you how the feelings were when we were there. We were afraid to talk to them about God, and we are leaving with a plot of land to build a church. So the two extremes were huge for us. It was a great shock for us. And Abuna stood there and took some water and prayed on the water. ورشم الأرض ومشينا بالعربيات عليها وصلبان ويعني وحددنا الأرض. And the next time Abuna went there and he did some administrative legal papers for that, and we are still working in the process of this church due to his faith and vision for those people. The second point is full of love. I think we've mentioned it before between the lines. And the verse says, the last line, he first loved us. So as it's, we are taking from his love and giving to the people. For the love of Christ compels us, as we said before. بتحصرنا, موجودة في كل حتة, بيساعدنا في كل حاجة. We have this love that we could give to others. And Paul says, and in Acts it says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So we are more blessed when we give people. The more we give, the more we are blessed and we receive. Again, I would show you Abuna sitting with everybody, helping with everybody. He's not sitting there giving orders around. He's sitting with the kids. He's sitting with the youth. He's sitting with the Egyptians living there and the servants there, taking them a day out, a spiritual day. He loved everybody. That's why when the resident father now goes walking everywhere, they would call on him and tell him, we used to love the priests you had before. Filled with evangelism. Some people are just filled with evangelism. They cannot stop talking about God anywhere. You cannot shut them out. Maybe here in Egypt some people are afraid to talk, others cannot. And that's why sometimes some people, they put them out of the country. They cannot stop themselves. Alright? Peter and John had the same problem when they took them to persecution and they told them not to speak about God. The word says in verse 20, for we cannot but speak. You say what you want, we will not shut down our mouths. We will not but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So an evangelist cannot stop thinking, planning, loving, doing everything for his vision, for his faith, for his believe about evangelism. It is in his blood, in his actions, in his day-to-day life. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day. With tears. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. So he was evangelizing evil people by giving them what they need. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. فبولس كان شعلة ما بيهداش يعني. Okay, it's again the characteristics of an evangelist are the three things we said. Back to the same example, Abuna told us 10 days mission, 9 days, you did a perfect job, let's go and relax for the 10th day before you get back to Cairo, so you come back and tell the people that Namibia is wonderful. Thank you, Abuna. Where are we going? We're going to the coast, to the beach. Wow, Abuna, thank you, Abuna. Where? On the hut, on the sea, having breakfast. Finally, some relaxation, and then we sat, ordered breakfast, fine. Mira, go get your guitar. Mira is one of the servants with us. Go get your guitar. Abuna, guitar بقى خلاص, breakfast ونريح شوية. Go get your guitar. جابت Mira guitar. Abuna, هاتولي الكوك نقول لها ان طبخها حلو. حاضر يا Abuna. طيب الخدام معانا cards verses عايزين نوزعها. مديرة الريستورنت no you cannot please no please no. طيب get the cook to tell her thank you. The cook came, she told us she was impressed by people telling her thank you for her cooking. She got back to her boss, something went on, her boss left the restaurant and went away, and we found out all the staff leaving the restaurant, leaving all the people and coming sitting with us in the hut with the guitar saying hymns for around half an hour. People were walking on the beach watching us just saying hymns with them, and as you can see Abuna taking images with all the stuff there. It's in his blood, Everywhere he goes, he's speaking about God. Even if you're having breakfast, why not say some hymns? They all came, everybody had a wonderful time. What was amazing, that year after, another mission went there, they did the same, and they asked about the Egyptian servants by their names. And it became like a habit that every time we go, if we get the possibility to go get that relaxation time that we thought of, go there, and we could go and serve those people that are not served by any church, because they are in somewhere like Sharm el Sheikh here. It's a more of a recreational area. And those people cannot go to church on Sundays because it's the peak of their work. So when we went in the middle of the week, it was the best way to reach those people. So the three points are faith and vision, full of love, filled with evangelism. Please remember them in your service. Finally, okay, so what do we do? What do we usually do there? Okay, this is an example Father Dawood gave to us. Right, as I told you, I'm a very bad speaker, so I take things from people, I collect them together and give it to you. Right, I'm not sure if you send the presentations or not. If you send the presentations, I left the references at the bottom for every part. An example of Christ with the disciples of Amwas. تلميذي عمواس let's see how Christ evangelized them. Alright, even though they believed in him. Okay, and what we can learn from him as techniques that you can use when dealing with others. So we will read it together. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Amwas, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. يعني المسيح مشي معاهم 7 ميل. نفسه كان طويل معاهم يعني 10 كيلو يعني 4 ساعات 5 ساعات. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. The first point is companionship. He accompanied them for 7 miles. I don't think it was his way. He didn't want to go to this city, but he went specially for them and walked with them 7 miles. I think I cannot take it 1 mile with people that used to know me and now they cannot understand who am I. But he walked with them for 7 miles. And here it says, drew near and went with them. So the first point that is very important, accompanying people. When people there, they need love. Alright? And they people sometimes they are, especially when we go there, we are for them, we are white. Okay? طبعا احنا فاكرين نفسنا سمر وهم شايفيننا بيض يعني. I'm talking about Africa. Okay? Accompanying them gives them the attitude that we are not repelling them and you are breaking the barrier between both parties. Alright, so the first thing, I need to accompany people, walk with them, sit with them maybe, whatever it takes to hold on a conversation. We will talk about the details of the conversation, but at least تهيئ the environment that to hold the conversation in. The second point is to tell them, you know, I am Jesus Christ, how cannot you know me, and so on. That's not what Jesus did. Alright? The second thing is to ask questions and listen. Someone, although Jesus knew them and knows very well how they think and how they felt at that point of time, but as an evangelist, he asks questions and collects answers. Alright, so you have to be a very good listener. Usually, you don't need to talk much. You need to listen much more, their problems, how they think, what they think before you can talk. You cannot just go and talk about to people about things you don't know they believe in or not. What are their other beliefs? How would they accept your words? Which technique to use while talking with them, unless you understand how they think. Alright, so the second thing after companionship is asking and listening. So Jesus, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? سألهم انتو تكلموا في ايه؟ عايز يعرف هم بيفكروا في ايه؟ هات اللي ايه اللي في دماغهم الاول عشان اعرف اخش لهم الدخل الصح. Okay. And they answered and said to him بقى قاعد يسمع. حتى ابونا داود لذيذ يقول لك غالبا هم قعدوا يحكوا لهم ساعتين تلاتة مسكة طويلة 4-5 ساعات وهو بعد كده بقى مسكهم اداهم بقى ايه الكلمتين الحلوين في الاخر بس قاعد يسمع 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 هم ايه مشاكلهم. Third point, I listen to what they're saying. I'm starting to what? Discovering and realizing what this person in front of me believes, thinks, his entry point, whatever I think of him. I'm analyzing now. Alright, so I'm listening, not hearing. Huh? You know the difference between listening and hearing. Alright, discovering and realizing. So Jesus said, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. So he's realizing now that they are talking about him and the problem of resurrection. They're afraid. The women went, they could not find him, what has happened to Jesus, and so on. After I'm realizing, I have to reach the point where I want to hold, grab, and start discussing with the one person in front of me. So I have to reach the important thread. أجيب إيه؟ الخيط، نقطة الإيه اللي أنا منها بقى أخد الحوار وأرجع أبتدي. يبقى أنا عملت companionship، بعديها active listening. إيه؟ Realizing, I realized, I pinpoint on the important topic, and now I'll start discussing with them. So here the realization or the reaching the important thread that Jesus took is, yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. هم كل خوفهم ايه؟ ان ده المسيح اللي احنا منتظرينه طب بعد ما اتصلب راح فين؟ مش فاهمين في قيامة ولا مفيش قيامة. هي دي كانت النقطة بتاعتهم. ومن هنا هتلاقوا بعد كده proclamation الاعلان. خلاص بقى انا فهمتك وعرفت وجبت الخيط اللي هبتدي اتكلم منه، لازم بقى ايه hit back بالمعنى المفهوم بقى. لا ده انت الحتة دي هي اللي كانت ناقصاك بقى. تعال بقى اعلان عن الموضوع بتاعك. You proclaim Jesus Christ being Lord and Savior. But he says here, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things, آخر أربعة أسطر, and to enter into his glory, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And it's very wise because he understands how they think, and because they are Jews. So he talked from Moses and the prophets, because he had active listening and he knows them very well, so he knows their background and how they understand and how they think. So he got back to their original beliefs about Moses and the prophets, and then he talked about all the things, the scriptures and the things concerning himself. That wouldn't have been known unless you talk with the person in front of you and you know that he's a Hindu. So now that he's a Hindu, I have to understand how I'm going to talk about Christ with him. Now that he's something else, he believes in whatever he believes in, I can talk with each one in different way depending on his beliefs. After this, I just do not drop the person by telling him, look, Jesus is the Savior. I have to go the mile after, which is the positive interaction. Here they took Jesus with them back to their house and asked him to sit with him. Alright? So it's not only about telling people and just leaving them. There has to be a positive interaction, emotional touch, emotional glimpse. There has to be something special about the relation, about the person we are talking and evangelizing with. So maybe you're walking in the street, you talk with somebody of the local people in their country, and he just tells you, come and sit with me. I remember we were in one of those slum areas, and we did not find one of our servants. And we kept on searching for him until we found him sitting in a balcony. Sorry, it's not a balcony, it's under a tin roof. Alright? Under a tree, talking with one of the locals on a personal basis, which we did not prepare for. So we were three teams, one for the kids, one for the youth, one for the elders, and one of the servants just took himself and went sit with one of the people there, and they had something very personal. And that person did not come to the church except because of this servant that went and served him under the tin roof. On a personal, there was something positive interaction. They sat, they talked on a personal level together. Friendship. He went back home with them. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them, and he took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to them. خلاص وصلنا لمرحلة الفرنشيب. بقينا أصدقاء وبقيت بجيب الأكل وبقسم. يعني وصل معاهم إن هم ما يعرفوهوش على الطريق. صح؟ لغاية لما دخل في كل الخطوات. حصل interaction. لا تعالى عندنا وبقى هو اللي قاعد, هو اللي بيخدم, هو اللي بيقطع وبيخدم, مش هم اللي قاعدين بيعزموه عنده في البيت. And finally acceptance. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished from their sight. ده اللي احنا عايزينه. That's our goal. It's a very difficult goal. Not difficult if we have what we talked about before. I'll recap. Their companionship, asking and listening, discovering and realizing, reaching the important thread, proclamation, positive interaction, friendship, and finally acceptance. Thank you.
Hello everybody. We thank Sharif for this nice lecture. All of us needed it. Also, yani, all the evangelists also Bardo needed it. I'm here because Hala Samuel is in a conference. My name is Hala Harvey. Our homework today is Acts 16, 1 to 10, characteristics of St. Paul as an evangelist. And from Daniel 6, also the same question.